Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Radio Nova, the IBI, and funded by Comisiún na mBian with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
This is Track O'Brien on Radio Nova, and this is the second part of our Ours to Protect feature this month. Last week we were looking at water quality and climate anxiety. This week we're all about circular economy policies and how they will help shape a more sustainable future for all. Who better to learn from on this than Claire Downey, the CEO of the National Centre for the Circular Economy, otherwise known as the Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun.
So it's about moving away from our current linear economy. And when we talk about linear economy, it's about how we extract resources, whether that's through mining or logging or, you know, oil extraction, which is used from plastic production. And then we turn that into something, a product that we use. For example, a computer, a phone, our clothes, a table.
Toys.
Things that we use, toys. And then we use that sometimes only for a short time, sometimes for a very short time, until it maybe breaks or is no longer interesting. And then we dispose of it. So that's the take, make, use, dispose cycle, if you like, which is very linear, because once we dispose of it and if we need that thing again, we have to go and buy it again. So someone has to take the resources and make the thing before we can use it and dispose of it again.
Okay.
So we're trying to close the loop. So instead of the linear cycle, we're trying to keep things going for longer. And therefore, we can cut down essentially on how much resource we're extracting and all of the impacts that that brings.
So this is all reuse. That's the key.
So it's everything. It's prevention, absolutely, first and foremost, which is kind of the refuse, if you like, if you need another term. What's refuse? Do we really need it? And then it's once it's there, once you do need it and you have it, can you get something secondhand instead? Can you reuse something? Or if you have something, can you repair it as well? And that also keeps it going. And part of that also is maintaining things so they stay good for longer.
And so what are the kind of policies that the government have laid out, or what are they directed towards in regard to circular economy?
So a lot of kind of the major policy frameworks come from Europe, the European Commission. So they've been doing a huge amount of work. I mean, the last 5 years have seen an absolute transformation in our policy landscape. And it covers everything from the design stage, because we know when something is designed, that's where most of the impacts of that thing are already decided. So if you like, if you choose, you know, a particular material, or if you choose a particular mix of components, you're already deciding this is the impact this thing is going to have, you know?
These are the resources that'll be required,
So in terms of European policy, only just recently, the kind of the decisions around the design, eco-design of sustainable products have been are being made. So there's a new kind of framework policy around that, and now the Commission is looking at what is that going to apply to. So we may already be familiar with the eco-design regulations that apply to energy requirements. So, for example, your washing machine has the A to E rating, the green to red. So something kind of similar, I suppose, they've been able to bring in behind that are requirements around how repairable something is, how durable it is. It won't be a rating directly necessarily, but it's a requirement on manufacturers to make things so they don't break, to have spare parts, to have instructions on how to do repairs, and eventually we'll see some kind of repairability ranking perhaps as well.
And would there be, is there anything along the lines of having a carbon footprint for products and how much carbon they've cost to make, like clothes or fashion, or is that something that you've all been pushing for?
I mean, it's very difficult to get accurate carbon reporting, because I mean, if you think about a supply chain for a pair of jeans, right, a simple pair of jeans would travel something like 60,000 kilometers before it reaches you.
Wow.
So that is from the cotton growing regions to the, you know, weaving, production of yarn, and the sewing and the stitching and the additions, and, you know, every step of the way moves across the world before it returns to you know, the retail outlet where we buy it. So tracking all of that.
I know it's
and
massive.
Each brand uses different suppliers and different growing areas. And so, of course, it's massive. But there is a move to what's called digital product passports. And the idea of those is to exactly try and capture that information as something moves through all of these stages, that you can track where does it come from exactly, and also has it already been reused, you know, has it been repaired, and then the customer, us, the citizen, can see, gosh, where do our things come from and how do we keep them going for longer.
And you're making an informed decision there.
Exactly. There's a good few other things coming from Europe as well, and there's been a huge focus on textiles or fashion. And in that area, there's a couple of developments. One is already in place, is that every country in Europe, every member state, has to provide separate collection for textiles. And that just means that there has to be a way for you to pass on your unwanted textiles that isn't the bin.
Okay, right.
So what are our options? So in Ireland, we already have a very strong network of charity retail, for example. So you can bring in your donations and hand them in to a store, or you can deposit them in a clothing bank.
Yeah.
So there are two outlets that are available at the moment that are separate collections, if you like. And then in behind that, the Commission's been doing a huge amount of work on trying to introduce what's called a producer responsibility scheme. So what's that? Well, we already have quite a few producer responsibility schemes that people might be familiar with. For example, for packaging, Repack would manage the producer responsibility scheme. So what that means is that when a packaging manufacturer or a retailer is selling something that has packaging, they have to pay a certain amount for each item of packaging that they sell. So it's called placed on the market. So they're essentially paying into the scheme for, let's say, the damage the packaging is causing. And then Repack is able to use that money to support, at the moment, primarily recycling of the packaging at the end of life. So if, for example, you know, the value of plastics on the recycling market is really low, this effectively subsidizes that and makes sure that it does go for recycling instead of going for disposal.
So it's a little bit like the return scheme that's there at the moment, that we're already paying up beforehand
exactly.
and we're getting our money back.
Exactly, you're right. Mm. That's a far more visible version of it.
Yeah.
So something similar will be introduced for fashion, for textiles. So included in the cost when you buy something, there'll be a little, it's an amount that's earmarked that goes into making sure when you don't want your textiles anymore, when you don't want your items anymore, that it goes to a responsible outlet. And in particular for textiles, because we have a good reuse market for this, it will go to hopefully be reworn and reworn in the country. And that's what this scheme should be able to support. And if not, if it's really unwearable, then that it can support other channels. It's probably important to point out that at national level, Ireland has also done a huge amount in this space and has shown, I suppose, ambition that goes in some areas beyond what Europe is pushing for. And I think that's really exciting and it's really good for this sector. So one big example is we have a circular economy strategy. We were one of the first countries to have one. We have a Circular Economy Act. And we were also one of the first to have one. And that kind of cements, you know, this says this is a really important area for Ireland and our policy. And also what it does, in particular in the Act, is it says there will be targets that go beyond recycling targets. So up until now, most of our focus has been on recycling because that's what the directives and the regulations have told us to do and have required us to do.
Yeah.
But now these acts and these strategies will go beyond that and start to set targets around reuse and repair and prevention.
Okay.
So that means that they'll become much more important in terms of policy and for citizens like you and me.
Yeah.
Hopefully it should mean that it'll be much easier for us to reuse and repair things down the line.
In 10 years' time, how do you think this circular economy policy should look, or what do you think changes will have come into effect by then in 10 years' time?
Yeah, well, certainly our ambition and vision would be that it's just so much easier, it's more accessible, it's more affordable, it's more attractive for all of us to do, make circular decisions every day.
Yeah.
So, for example, in your village, in your town, you can easily refill, very simple, refill your water bottle. You can easily, you know, prioritize, buy secondhand over new. You can easily get something repaired. And repair can be challenging at the moment.
Yeah.
We know not only are some services dying out, like shoe repairs, you know, there's very little...
The skills,
kind
yeah.
of skills. Mm. But also, you know, it can be expensive. You know, the cost of new things is just so low that it can be hard to make these things work. So in 10 years' time, it should be really easy to repair. You know, you can drop it off here and you can pick it up there, and it's, you know, really straightforward and really affordable. And then you have, you know, your swapping and your lending services. So it's really easy. Instead of, you know, oh, I need to do my drill. You know, I need to drill some holes this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to go and buy a drill. I don't need to, you know, because I know that, you know, there's this really great, easy to use, quick service just down the road from me. I can borrow a drill, 10 minutes, return it back, done.
Okay.
So that's how it should feel for us as citizens, I guess. And, you know, if you want to go out for a night, you can borrow a dress from your local, you know, swap shop, or you can swap one, or you can, you know, there's rental services.
Yeah.
It's just made really straightforward.
And I suppose those processes will just become normalized. That's the key to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just becomes normal. So certainly people are getting more aware of the idea of circular economy. We've done some market research and we know now, you know, 55% and upwards of people have heard of the term circular economy. But I think what it is, you know, what it means, you know, going beyond recycling or before recycling, hasn't really come through yet. So, you know, we're trying to always make the connection between circular economy and then prevention, reuse and repair, cutting down consumption, finding easy ways in your life just to reduce how much you buy.
That's Claire Downey, the CEO from the Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun. That's it for this week on Heirs to Protect on Nova. Next week, we'll be back with the concluding episode of this whole series, when we'll be looking at how we know for sure that the climate is changing. That's Heirs to Protect on Radio Nova with myself, Traco Brain, on next Sunday morning after 7.
Ours to Protect is funded by Comisú na mBian with the television license fee and is a partnership between Radio Nova and the IBI. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more.